On today's episode of the AuthoraCast, I sit down with Georgia World Congress Center Authority's Vice President of Government Relations, Lindsey Strickland, and talk about how we interact with the state government. You may wonder what a convention center campus has to do with that. Well, the Georgia World Congress Center is a state asset and receives funding for projects, which of course in turn allows us to continue to improve our campus and generate revenue for the city of Atlanta and state of Georgia. So we talk about how all that works, and diapers might also come up, but you'll have to stick around to find out about that. Welcome back to the AuthoraCast. My name is Austin Simmons. I'll be your host on this show, talking all things Georgia World Congress Center Authority. You know, just the customers coming into Georgia World Congress Center, what they're doing here in the building, maybe the community and the city and the state. I'll be talking to folks that kind of make this place run ever so smoothly and get things happening around here. And speaking of that, I've got Lindsey Strickland with me, the Vice President of Government Relations here at Georgia World Congress Center Authority. Thank you for hopping on and taking a minute, Lindsey.
I'm so happy to be here, Austin. Thank you for asking me to join.
Of course. And first off, being Vice President of Government Relations, I am thinking back just to me, and if I met you and didn't know anything about Georgia World Congress Center Authority, I would think, okay, she's the President of the Congress of Georgia or something. I would have no idea what that means.
That sounds pretty crazy and cool, yeah, though, at the same time.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, whenever you're meeting somebody at a party or you're out or something like that, they don't know what you do. What's kind of the elevator pitch or whatever people call it?
You know, it's funny you ask that, because there is a word that it's not a negative term, but it's not exactly what I do, but it's the easiest way to explain it to someone who's maybe not in our world. When I say world, I mean kind of government relations. But I'm air quoting here, basically a state lobbyist for the authority and the efforts that we have. With that being said, I don't like to use lobbyists, because I'm not a registered lobbyist. I don't have any private clients. But I am strictly there to advocate for any and everything we do within the GWCCA world.
Gotcha. Yeah, and sometimes that can have a little bit of a negative connotation with certain folks. So yeah, I like that. I like the way you put that. And we're recording this in January, not sure exactly whenever it's going to go out, but in the next few months, you're going to be a little bit busy when the legislature's in session. I mean, just what all kind of goes on with those sessions whenever they're meeting, because I am one of those people, I have no idea what happens in there. I probably should. But just kind of what happens in there, you know, and what's your role in kind of bringing things here to GWCCA?
Sure. I'll give you a little snippet of what the legislative session is and what it looks like. And no, we're talking about Georgia specific, and I'm sure we'll have listeners from all over the place, I hope. But each state has a different way of how they do their legislative sessions. But this is the state of Georgia. This is the Georgia General Assembly's 40 working days of passing the state's budget, among other things, and other laws and other amendments. But they're only legally obligated to pass the state's budget in the 40 days of the calendar that they build. And that starts on Monday. I think Monday's the 13th. I might be wrong. And so my job is, again, I'm a state employee hired by the state of Georgia through the World Congress Center Authority. So I advocate for any initiatives and budget items that we may have regarding the state's budget. And I say budget a lot, because that's usually the main area I focus on. And I'm sure you've probably talked about this in some podcasts before, and hopefully our customers are listening, but they will constantly see construction projects on our campus. And even though sometimes can be a little painful, construction and cones and hard hats always mean progress and improvements. And a lot of these projects that we have going on right now, we're talking about escalators. You know, we've just wrapped up our hotel almost a year ago now. Some of our Andrew Young International Boulevard, that's our main thoroughfare through our campus, all of those were state-funded projects. Now, a lot of things we internally budget for, you know, a lot of our capital maintenance, but very big projects like our connector project, the million square feet of of contiguous space that connects our buildings B and C. That was a $55 million state budgeted project from general obligation bonds. And I know that's a lot of crazy words, but that's a perfect example of what I do at the state capitol. You know, our team comes together, we have a vision, we have a master plan. And if you go back a few years, I use the BC connector a lot as an example because it's easy to understand, especially for a lot of our customers. In our two of our largest buildings, buildings B and C, there was basically a walkable hallway that connected those two buildings. And our trade shows and conventions are growing, and we're so excited for that. And we want to be able to offer our customers what their growing industry needs. So we came together with our stakeholders and our customers and our board, and we said, whoa, we need more space, and we need the space connected. They can't be rolling in boats like we had the boat show right now. We can't be rolling in these huge yachts. We don't have enough space for them. So we came together. We met with the governor, with leadership, with the speaker, with the lieutenant governor, all the big people in charge that make all the decisions. And we gave a business case of why we would need something that's this expensive and the return on what that investment would be for not only us as a business, a state business, but also economically across the city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia by bringing in bigger conventions, bigger trade shows, which means more people, which means more hotel rooms booked, more restaurant reservations, you name it. We're bringing in the economic impact here. So that's just one example of what I advocate for at the Capitol, working through that budget process. I wish it was as easy as, hey, we asked for it and we got it and then the money came in and we built it and it was beautiful. But, you know, there's a lot of people under the Gold Dome. And the Gold Dome is a little term that, you know, us in the government relations world in Georgia use, but the Gold Dome is the Georgia State Capitol because the top of the dome is made of gold.
And it's pretty cool if you're driving in on 75, 85, you can see it from the interstate. Pretty neat. And I'm pretty sure a lot of it that you kind of pitch and throw out there, the return on investment, you know, like you mentioned with BC, my immediate thought was Heli Expo. I mean, there's humongous helicopters that are just rolling right in. So, I mean, is that part of what you kind of pitch to them? And what, I mean, do you get to see the other side of the return on the investment for, you know, the BC Hall and how many people say, oh, we're coming to Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've seen it. And I'm not the numbers gal, but if you bring in for your next podcast, maybe we bring in some of the sales teams and you ask them questions like, you know, what did the BC Connector do for our business? What did the hotel on our campus being built do for our business? It is tremendous. It makes a huge impact. And I think Heli Expo is a really great example. And I'm going to use the poultry show, IPPE. It's a Georgia-based show. They were our first customers. They're our longest customers. And they come in January. And if you are listening and it is January in Georgia, you think we're the peach fuzzy warm state. Right now it is frigid and there's about to be ice. So it's not all that great sometimes in January. That being said, our poultry friends would come in, they were growing, expanding, and they would be in both B and C halls. And they would have to, we as the authority came in to help our customers, would cover that area that was not connected between the two buildings. And people would have to walk outside in January, which right now is about 35 degrees, from one building to the other to see the other side of the convention. And that's not okay. Nobody wants to do that. I didn't even want to walk outside of my office to go over to the hotel outside. I walked through building C and around because I didn't want to be cold. So that's an example. You know, we wanted to help our customers. Our customers are our number one focus, right? We want our customers to be happy. And so being able to get the money from the state, have our state leaders, the governor, and all of the people that work in the House and the Senate support that idea is huge. And they said, look, I see it. There's a lot of business people under the Gold Dome, thankfully. So they understand what ROI is. And when we said, if you build this, if you invest this $55 million, you're going to get blank in return. And that's why I can't remember that number, but our salespeople, I'm sure do. And it's been tremendous for us. That's just one example.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, are there any projects kind of coming up that you could talk about. I don't know if I'm overstepping, but you know, one of our recent customers came in and said, you know, hey, we're going to be here for 5 years, and just seeing Centennial Yards pop up and different things around. I know that's not on our campus, but you know, they notice these things and it may bring them back. So, I mean, is there anything that you see kind of coming up that may be discussed this session or anything like that that you could talk about?
Yeah, and I appreciate you asking that, because I think this is a great segue to talk about the Dallas Safari Club that's with us today, and I believe they'll be with us for 5 years. I think that's right. And Dallas is in their name for a reason, because they are a Dallas-based convention, and the Dallas Convention Center, our friends over there, are having to shut down their operations to do a complete rehaul of their buildings, and that's very unfortunate. You know, that's not a good place to be, and I feel sorry for them, because we continue to go to our legislature and the leadership in the state to say, hey, we can't be Dallas. You know, we can't afford to close our business and have our customers go elsewhere, like Dallas Safari Club is coming to us. That's just going to be a huge downturn in our economic impact for the state. So we are taking advantage, I hate to say it, of Dallas's shortfall. So we're able to get that business. And then I get to prove to our legislative friends, you know, if this happened to us, this is how much money we could lose. So this year, we are asking for $10 million, and sometimes the amount of money comes within the bond package of the state budget, and sometimes it's in any kind of cash options that we have if we have a surplus in revenue, which thankfully our state is a very good economic position right now, and there is available money out there to reinvest in our state. And that's what the governor and the House and the Senate get to decide to do, or how to use it. But we are asking for $10 million for HVAC replacement. And so I laugh. Sometimes I have really sexy stuff to sell, like woohoo, you know, like we've got a hotel, we need bonding capacity, we've got all this. I was like, and we need air handling units. But it's the reality of you know, the world we live in. Like, it's just like your own house. If you don't do your maintenance and your upkeep of your home, you could end up in a very bad position. And so HVAC replacement is expensive. And this is one tiny tranche of what we're going to have to do, because our buildings are aging and we can't let them fall in. We can't afford to do that, and the state can't afford to let us do that, because we're such a huge impact.
And I know some of what kind of helps make this place run is some of the not-so-sexy projects, like you mentioned, but I know that some of our customers probably appreciate the air conditioner working and things like that. So, I mean, is it harder to not sell, but you know what I mean? Like, kind of just the things that we don't take care of ourselves that we need grants or bonds or whatever
bonds,
it is. Bonds,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know the
That's
know
okay,
the
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, just what's it like kind of dealing with some of those projects whenever it's not, like you said, the big, beautiful hotel next door or something like
that? You know, I always laugh when I meet with the projects team every year. We meet kind of late summer, and I'm like, all right, what are we asking for? And a few years ago, they're like, we need flooring. I'm like, oh, this is so lame. Like, let's do something fun. But, you know, the majority of the people in the legislature understand business. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And they understand, you kind of break it down on a personal level. Like I mentioned, maintenance on your own house. We had a roofing request, 2 different years of roofing requests. And I have to get creative sometimes. I always tell Kim in sales, I'm like, I'm basically part of the sales team. I just focus on people who are making big decisions for the state. So I know I got pretty desperate there towards the end on the roofing. And the Senate Appropriations Chair is a dear friend of mine. He's wonderful. Senator Blake Tillery, he's from Vidalia, Georgia, which is in South Georgia. He's like, Lindsay, why do y'all need all this money for a roof? And I was like, it's leaking, you know? And we internally budget for so many of our capital projects. We have a whole bucket for capital projects, but we are a ginormous group of buildings. And there is a lot of capital projects. And we're so huge, and I remind people what our impact is so they understand it's not just Lindsay coming in asking for, you know, a patch to her roof. This is a huge economic engine, and we have to continue to reinvest not only our dollars but the state. So what I had to do, and I knew Chairman Tillery and his wife, Ashley Nicole, I just had a little baby. Well, my husband and I had also just had a little baby, so I had diapers everywhere. And our projects team and facilities team, I said, please explain to me, like, what's going on a show floor if we have a deluge of rain in Atlanta, which happens a lot. And they're like, oh, we put what we call diapers on the roof. And I was like, come again? I was like, I've got, like, diapers in the back of my car right now. And they're like, yeah, we literally put up tarps to catch the water because of the holes that are in our roof. So it's a diaper. It's catching the liquid. And I was like, ah, and my little light bulb went off. And so, you know, you can't do this with everybody. It's all about personalities and relationships under the gold dome. Well, thankfully, I'm friends enough with the chairman of the Senate Appropriations to be able to get away with this. But I went to his office and I said, we are so desperate. And I taped one of my kids' diapers on his door. And I said, we can't do this to our customers. This is not Georgia. We don't put diapers on things. We got to fix it. And it worked. And I will dare say that my picture that I took that I showed some of my friends at the Capitol went a little viral under the Gold Dome. They're like, I can't believe Lindsay put a diaper on Chairman Tillery's door. And I was like, I don't care what it takes. We got the money for it. And I'm so grateful. And that's the kind of games we got to play up there. It gets real interesting towards the end.
And I'm sure a lot of the legislators, you know, they see that we're a money-making building. You know, we have customers in here all throughout the year, but the money's not just staying in this building, that it's, you know, a money generator for around the city, whether it's hotels, bars, and restaurants, things like that. So, I mean, does that kind of play into it a little bit to them seeing, or, I mean, is that something that you kind of have to let them know, folks that maybe aren't as familiar with the Georgia World Congress Center or something like that, that, you know, hey, we're making money here, but so is everybody else in the neighborhood, if
Oh, it's a little bit of both. So that's a great question. And that's something that Holly, you know, our director of communications here, helps us with creating that message of how to remind the legislature and the public, honestly, and stakeholders what our impact is to the state. I think a good example, we fall under in kind of like the state of Georgia's ladder, if you will. We are administratively attached to the Department of Economic Development, which I think is where we need to be because we are an economic engine. And so when the commissioner of the Department of Economic Development presents his ginormous budget, we fall under there, and he mentions, you know, the World Congress Center Authority contributes to this large tourism number that we shout from the rooftops all the time about Georgia. I think Georgia's second industry next to agriculture is tourism. And that beautiful number that they come out with every year, and I don't know what the latest one is for 2024, but we contribute to that big number. And so we make sure people know that. I mean, we are tourism here. I mean, people are coming here from all over the country, all over the world, especially Dallas Safari Club. All these people that go hunting in Africa and Asia and all these people, they got to come here and they're seeing all that what's offered in the wildlife world. So I think it's critical that we remind people what our impact is. And we do the same thing with the city of Atlanta. You know, these citywide events, the Super Bowl, World Cup, dun-dun-dun, you know, these huge events, the Final Four, these citywide events feed off of what we host on our campus. And people need to know what that impact looks like. And then it's just a no-brainer. We got to continue to invest. We can't shut down. You shut down this muscle over here, this side of the body is not going to work anymore. I mean, you think about the hospitality industry and the people that are working the hotels and in the restaurants. Everything across the board would be affected if we weren't reinvesting and continuing to build on what we've already come up with and offered the state of Georgia and the city of Atlanta through the years.
And you mentioned people coming from all over the world. I know my first IPPE, I was amazed at how many people, I can't remember how many different countries people came from, but it's pretty cool being able to be one of those places that they spend all of their time, and probably the first thing that pops in their head whenever they think of their trip is the Georgia World Congress Center. So, I mean, is that kind of cool being able to pitch that and, you know, just working with legislators on different things like that, saying, hey, this might be their main memory. You know, you get into town, probably get to the airport, go to the hotel, and then they're here for 8 to 10 hours a day.
I think that's what's so beautiful about us being a state asset, because we follow, you know, state guidelines and state laws, and we're able to keep, you know, our little bubble here pristine, if you will. And we have our own police department. We keep it safe. It's secure. It's clean. And we have the best staff in the whole nation as far as convention centers go. And I'm very proud of that. And there's a lot of, and you talk about legislators. I mean, that's the life I live in with these folks. There's a lot of legislators that live in and around downtown, specifically around Centennial Olympic Park, which is our beautiful 20-plus acre park here that we built for the 1996 Olympic Games. And we've just continued to invest in that park. It's kind of a give back to the community, to the city of Atlanta, to downtown, and to the state of Georgia. And legislators own and lease a lot of condos right around the park. So they are watching our campus when they're here for the legislative session and when they're in and around Atlanta for whatever they have going on. And trust me, those people are in my ear. Whether it's, hey, what's going on at the hotel? Or, ooh, I just saw y'all just repave this. Or, oh, I see, you know, is the gate at the dog park so my dog can go to the potty at the park? Is it going to be open at 11 o'clock at night? I got that phone call one day. I was like, we'll make sure it is. And I call our police department and say, please unlock the dog park gate. I'm always so proud to sell what we have going on here. And it's an easy sell when you talk about what we do here and how we are. And I'm so proud of the investments we continue to make, but just looking forward to what our neighbors are doing. I mean, we're already the Mecca, I would argue, in Atlanta. Like, I think we're the heartbeat of it, and we are continuing to build from that. And downtown isn't just going to be a place where you go to the Falcons game, the Hawks game, or to a convention, you know, or a concert. Like, it's going to be a place where we're going to live, work, and play now. And it's private investments that are going to complement what we do and what the state's investing in. And I think that is such a beautiful story to share to the nation about what you can do with the partnership of the state and the private industry. And I think that we should give a lot of credit to our governor, Governor Brian Kemp, and state leadership, Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, Speaker John Burns. And what's so great about our state leadership right now is those top three leaders, the folks that I talk to the most in their offices, they're from different parts of our state. So they, you know, they probably have different focuses on what may help things back home. But when you're able to kind of touch every part of the state with what you bring in, I think that's huge. And you talk about people coming from around the world. I think a good example that our previous CEO, Frank Poe, would give a lot of times to the legislature is IWF, International Woodworking Fair. They're also a Georgia-based company and show, and they bring in wood products from all over the world. So when you talk about an economic impact statewide, instead of just, you know, in the center of Atlanta here, you have wood products coming in through the port of Savannah, and they're using our railroads, they're using our roads, they're bringing in all of our products up here to Georgia, and then you're using the airport, and you're using all of the private Deltas of the world, American Airlines, all these people. You talk about impact, is just like it spreads so much further than you can even imagine. And I love that story. I think it's a wonderful story to tell.
That's perfect, because it made me think of coverings as well. You know, they were bringing all the things from, what was it, Brazil and all over the world, and bringing in different things through the port. Because I think that was kind of my last question, was just how does that touch everywhere in Georgia, you know, being the Georgia World Congress Center Authority. We're here in Atlanta, and obviously there's an impact in Atlanta, but how do people see that throughout the state, just the different shows that we're bringing in, other than, like you said, you know, travel coming through, or the Port of Savannah, or different things like that, if we didn't already touch on all those?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Port of Savannah is like the economic engine, obviously. Like, we continue federally and through the state, you know, investing in the Port of Savannah, and I don't think the state would be where it is today without that port. But, you know, our sister convention center, Savannah Convention Center, you know, they're expanding. They just opened their expansion. They're working on a hotel. You know, if a show looks at us, they're like, whoa, they're too big, we say, look at Savannah and look at all the wonderful tourism, you know, fun things to do in Savannah bananas. I have yet to go to a Savannah banana game, and I'm dying to go. Apparently you can't find a ticket anywhere. So anyone out there can hook me up with a Savannah banana ticket. I promise you, I'll repay you. And then I think about the World Cup. I cannot wait for the World Cup to be here, and we're all going to be ready for it, and it's going to be awesome. But the World Cup, is going to put us on the world stage like we have never seen before. And when I say we, I mean the World Congress Center Authority, the City of Atlanta, the State of Georgia, the United States of America, because that is a huge deal. And that is just going to filter out through all of the country, especially the Southeast. And I live about 30 miles south of Atlanta in McDonough, Georgia, and Henry County. And, you know, we have some hotels popping up down our corridor. Those hotels are going to be booked up for World Cup. Like, everyone is going to feel World Cup, and everyone needs to brace themselves for that impact, because it's going to be great and we're going to be ready, but it's going to be huge. And I was just a little girl when the 96 Olympics were here, so I don't remember a whole lot about it. I remember it being here, and I remember my parents going, I wonder if we can rent out our house. Well, we were just a little too rural for those folks, but we're going to feel the impact everywhere of World Cup, and we're going to be their home right here at the World Congress Center Authority. And I think that's going to be such an eye-opening experience for everyone around.
Exciting time to look forward to in 2026.
I'm just around the corner.
Yeah, ready to go. All right, well, I think that's all I've got for you, Lindsay. Okay. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Austin.
Once again, thank you to Lindsay Strickland for joining me for this episode. Good time chatting with her as always. And hopefully that gives you a little insight into how we work together with the state as a state asset to keep the economic engine that is tourism in Georgia rolling. This has been the AuthoraCast, a production of Georgia World Congress Center Authority. Thanks for hanging out with me, and until next time, I'll see you later.